Blog Talk Radio.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Well, good morning and welcome to another Friday. And we are Robin-less or something like that. It's not because she's ill, thank God. She's just out gallivanting around and having a great time. No, actually, she's busy, but Robin is not here. And I do have a year-end message from Robin. So if I can figure out how to play this little thing, I'm going to try to do this. This is Robin's own voice, and maybe she'll be calling in a little later on, too. But we've got plenty of things to talk about, boy, at the end of the year. But we'll try this first.
If you are hearing this message, then you must assume that I am dead, and my killer is... Oh, wait. Sorry, wrong message. Anyways, I wanted to thank Cliff for covering for me today and apologize for not being able to join the show, as I've been called to work, as my schedule has changed, which also means, of course, that our schedule for next week is going to change. But in any event, I wanted to wish everybody a happy and safe 2011. And I also wanted to take a moment to thank everybody who has taken the time to check us out on Blog Talk Radio. And it's because of you is what made the show today. Our numbers are growing exponentially, and that really encourages us. And I just wanted to take the time to say thank you. And to also thank Marty Rowe at KOHI 1600 AM in St. Helens for rebroadcasting our shows on his radio station. Have a safe and happy new year, everybody, and back to you, Cliff.
Thank you, thank you. Down boy, hold your applause. All that sort of thing. Well, it's an interesting end of the year. There is so much stuff to talk about that we've really... I don't know. It's, where did my little things here go? But we've got a ton of stuff to talk about at the end of the year. Things that have been happening and all year long, really. But mostly, I got to say, this is kind of an interesting bit that I've got here that Robin sent to me, actually, or alerted me of. Well, it was about a week ago, I guess, when we got, if you want to get right down to it. Whoops. I'm sitting here playing with my computer. That's why I whoopsed. Now I've lost something. There it is. It's about a 13-year-old boy. I guess this is a comment on a couple of things. One of them being our education system. But a 13-year-old boy was arrested Friday for using a permanent marker while in class in his Oklahoma City middle school, a violation of an obscure city ordinance. A permanent marker. Now we're talking about a Sharpie, right? We're talking about a Sharpie. And he was using it. He was sitting at his desk. And 13-year-old, he doesn't think necessarily everything out before he does it. And so he was marking a piece of paper. And now he was writing, and again, remember, I just said he was marking or writing or drawing or whatever he was doing on a piece of paper, all right? But this is a permanent marker, a Sharpie, obviously big, fat tip, and it was going through and seeping over and bleeding over onto the desk. So it was actually marking a little bit, I assume, not a lot, on the desk, and the teacher got mad, called the cops, and arrested him and sent him to jail. I'm not kidding. She really did this. This is in Roosevelt's middle school. Her name is Delin Woodside, and she told the officer, Miguel Campos, which says exactly what I just told you. He was writing on a piece of paper, and it caused it to run onto the desk, and that made her mad. And so she called and had him put in jail. I'm serious. The police spokesman referred to this bust as a citizen's arrest. I mean, the policeman didn't do that. The teacher called him and told him, or asked him, I suppose. I don't know. Maybe sure, knowing this case, she may have told him to do it. But, I mean, ruining a kid's future over a Sharpie? Putting him in jail over a Sharpie, 13 years old. I mean, maybe he was a nasty kid. Maybe he was a bad kid. Maybe he's done terrible things before. But this is ridiculous. This is not the feather that broke the camel's back. This is something just totally absurd. Writing, because he was writing on a piece of paper. On a piece of paper. Well, I guess probably the thing that I wanted to say is that we've got a problem. American school teachers, are they, what is wrong with them? Here's a thought. Educators are taught in the same corrupted administration top-heavy system that they later teach within. So they've been educated by these same idiots, and now they're passing that on to the kids that are being taught by them. It's kind of a sorry circle of decaying values and misplaced values. Getting back to the whole education problem, maybe we should get rid of the education system altogether, the Department of Education. We need to get back to the basics. Supposedly, well, again, I hate to tell you this. I really hate to tell you this, and it's going to get me in trouble, I'm sure, but we're getting back to unions. That's right. Education unions, teachers unions. Back to unions, not being able to control the teachers because their union takes care of that, not being able to control what they teach, how they teach, when they teach, because the union takes care of that, not even being able to fire them because the union stops you from doing that. So we've got an awful lot of teachers. Now, there are some people who say it's a lot higher number than it is, that I'm hoping it is, but there are a lot of teachers that perhaps should not even be in the system at all. But they've been taught by this same group over the years, and it's going to continue to get worse until we do something about it. Now, what we do is I'm not going to try at this particular point to analyze the school system or the education system and change that. Because that takes, I was going to say that takes a little more thought than I've given it. That's not true. I have given it a lot of thought. But now is not the time or the place. We'll come up with a day and we'll cover that later and get out to it. It's just very sad commentary on our education system that this lady would be allowed to do this. The first place even to think about doing this is absurd. And then for her to be allowed to do this is even more absurd. And I guess the police department can't be held too much at blame because they've got to do what they're asked to do. That's their job. That's the whole thing. And so the policeman was asked to arrest this kid, and he did. Now, what they're going to do with him now that they've got him arrested, we don't have that information yet. I hope we can follow this and find out what's being done to him. But I'm hoping that it's not a lot, because this is just absolutely absurd. This is just beyond ridiculous. It's just crazy. But there it is. Had to pass this along. It's a real sad story, but that's the story it is. 13-year-old boy arrested, sent to jail, arrested in class, and sent to jail for writing with a Sharpie. The whole point, I don't know if the big thing is the fact that it was a permanent marker, because some Sharpies are not. You can wash them off. Permanent markers are pretty permanent. And it supposedly bled over through the paper onto the desk. Now, again, I don't care how much trouble this kid has been before, and maybe he has, maybe he hasn't. We don't have any information about who the kid is and what his past record is. But it doesn't make any difference at this point. 13-year-olds don't always think everything all the way through. You're marking, you're writing with a marker, but you're writing on a piece of paper. You don't think about the fact that it's a marker that's going to bleed through and get on the desk. And if it does, I mean, there's an awful lot worse things that have happened to desks in school, like carving your initials in them with a pen knife or something of that sort, which you're also not supposed to have at school nowadays. But, I mean, couldn't we have just, as a horrible punishment, made the kid sand the desk down and refinish it? He'd have to be supervised with that, which means he'd have to stay after school or come in earlier or whatever. But that would make him think about it. And next time he wouldn't write on it, and he'd check and see if it was going to bleed through the paper or whatever. But sending him to jail, that doesn't accomplish anything. That doesn't teach him anything. All that does is make him mad and turn him into, well, now I'm getting off onto another tangent. But there it is. I just can't believe that even took place. That's just so absurd that I can't believe it even took place. But it did. There it was. And ready or not. So, boy. Anyway. Oh, I'm back to the real live program here. Where's my thing? I can tell you our telephone number to call. We do have a number, 1-646-721-9887. If you have an opinion on the story we just talked about or anything else you want to talk about, give us a call, 1-646-721-9887. I was just looking over there to see. I didn't have the page up. I didn't have our switchboard up, and I didn't know if somebody's called or not, so I hope they haven't. But 1-646-721-9887 is the number to remember. It's easy to remember, and you can write it down if you want to. We're allowed to do that. Lots of things. One of the things is, I don't know if you heard too much about it or not, but some time ago, Governor Bill Richards had made the remark that he was going to pardon Billy the Kid. Now, I don't know if you know about this, but years ago, Billy the Kid was promised that he was going to get a pardon because he was going to, well, he was going to rat out somebody, I guess. And the thing is, he didn't do it. He just didn't do it. But he did finally get out of jail sooner or later. And that was in 1879 that they did this. And later on, he got out of jail. And later on, since Governor Wallace, this is the person who probably made a promise to grant him amnesty if he testified before a grand jury in another murder case in Lincoln County. And when he didn't do it, when he didn't pardon him, then finally when Billy the Kid got out, he went out and killed a couple more people. And some people think it was because it was in retaliation for being lied to. I don't know. But anyway, in 2003, Governor Richardson, and now I want to understand, why would he even think about this? He's a history buff, and he's quite interested in history, and he decided he was going to pardon Billy the Kid. Now, he drew it on and on and on and on, and didn't do it, and didn't do it, and didn't say he wasn't going to do it. But after a while, he finally made up his mind just a couple days ago that he's not going to pardon Billy the Kid. So even from 1879 till now, it hasn't worked. It was a very close call. He's been working on this thing for 8 years. It was kind of a romantic idea to issue a pardon, but he says the facts and the evidence did not support it. He says, I've got to be responsible, especially when a governor is issuing pardons. So he said what they think, the thing that really made it different is because, like legend has it, he killed anywhere from 8 to 22 people when he was captured and shot in 1881 by Sheriff Pat Garrett. But and that's, he says you can't reward bad behavior with good. That's true. But what's more important, in my opinion, is that he was thinking about doing this. It cannot be free to do these. Got to cost money somewhere online, and we don't need to be doing this. Just like we don't need to be declaring turnips our state fruit or something. I mean, this all costs money. It doesn't cost a lot of money, but this is happening all over the country. And when you put it all together, I think it's turning into some real money, and we need to think about it. So maybe we ought to maybe think about this kind of stuff in the future. But anyway, he decided not to pardon Billy the Kid. That was important stuff that we had to tell you, because Billy the Kid, a lot of people have varying points of view, but any way you look at it, they know he killed at least 8 people. And some people say it's clear up to 21. It may have been more, because there are some, you know, we don't hear about them all. But we do know about 8 people that he did indeed kill, and that's not good. Good, not good. We shouldn't be rewarding that with a pardon in this particular case. So that's a couple of the things that I wanted to bring up right away that were interesting. This is the end of the year, and there's a lot of things going on. We've got lots of lists of what has happened in the year, the 10 overrated stories, the 10 world news stories, 10 unreported stories, the top 10 news stories. Let's do this. Let's go down the overrated news stories first, just to give you an idea. The top overrated news story and overreported news story is sort of not a news story. It's a lot of things. It's Sarah Palin. We're talking an awful lot about Sarah Palin. And I've got to give Sarah Palin credit. One of the biggest things to be a politician is to how to get your name in the news, how to be talked about. And she has figured it out, no doubt about it. She has figured out what to do to be talked about. And she is talked about constantly. She's on the news constantly. For various and sundry different things, be they good or bad, people say good things about her. People say bad things about her, but they talk about her. That's the important point. Good, bad, or indifferent, it's free advertising. And it looks like she's going to try to run for president, in which case this helps her along. There's no doubt about it. Now, another one that they came up with and said it's an overreported story is Chelsea Clinton's wedding. I don't think that was overreported. I heard about it a lot, but that's an important thing. Chelsea Clinton, ready or not, is a major public figure. She isn't. One of the things that's been overreported, and I'll go along with this, is the Christine O'Donnell thing. That's been way overreported, just way, way overreported. I'll go along with that. Immortalizing of Barack Obama, whatever that's supposed to mean. I didn't delve into that. Gordon Brown's Bigagate, Terry Jones, they've talked about Terry Jones in the news way too much. LeBron James, boy, you want to talk about somebody being talked about too much. Bieber, the little kid, Bieber fever is what they're calling it. And we're hearing a lot of stuff about dear little Bieber. I'm sorry. Now I'm getting mixed. But, I mean, he's a pretty talented little kid, and he is still just a little kid. And ready or not, everything he does is a major story. And then, of course, one of the things that we had a lot of news about was the bedbugs. We had a lot of information, more information than I ever wanted to know about bedbugs. But we did. And then Kanye. Kanye. I don't know what I want to say about that. I guess he's talented, but he's an idiot. I mean, I'm just going to let that go. It's the number 10 of the top 10 overreported stories is what it is. So that's okay. We'll just let that one go. That's bad enough. You know, we talked to, there's just so much going on that we can talk about. We talked about the FCC taking over the internet, supposedly. I mean, first of all, please understand, I don't think the FCC is taking over the internet. They did pass the vote 3-2, a major victory for FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski. He spent more than a year trying to come up with a way to do this. The FCC's three Democrats voted to pass the rules, while the two Republicans opposed them, calling them unnecessary regulation. Now, I don't know if I want to – I guess I'd have to ride the fence on this one, having looked into it, because, you know, until it was passed, we didn't have any of the information about what it was all about. But, for example, somewhere – maybe everywhere, I don't know. Comcast was one of the biggest ones. They decided not to give people access to a uTorrent website. And now I understand what they're doing because that costs them money. The only thing you have to sell on the internet is bandwidth, actual bandwidth. And uTorrent is... Well, I was going to say he's using more bandwidth than ever. I don't know how much, because the porn sites are the biggest hogs, but I don't know if any website uses any near as much as the uTorrent website. People download things from uTorrent. You can go on and download old movies, new movies. You can download television shows. You can download all kinds of things on uTorrent. I know about it. I have used it. And what you do is it may take a while. As I recall, for downloading a movie, I did this, and it took a couple of days because it was a big file. And, you know, it's like 8 gigabytes or something like that in this particular case. So you had to leave your computer on for a couple of days downloading all that time. Now, if you have hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of people doing this, this is going to use up a lot of bandwidth. Now, that means that Comcast is going to have to make a availability or make access to a huge amount of bandwidth they didn't have to do before. And if they could turn that particular single website or access off, that could save them a huge amount of money. But that doesn't make much sense to me because they're charging you for it. They're charging you, and they're charging you based on that. But the FCC wants to step in, and I don't find this a problem, but they're going to step in and say that you can't pick and choose and give some customers access to some things and others not. You got to make it open to everybody. You got to make it, I hate to use the word fair, because I don't know how good that word is, but anyway, that's the word I'm going to use. And, but the whole thing, people are panicky. You give the government access even a little bit, and they have a tendency to step in and take over. Now, in this particular case, I suppose it would be nice to have somebody taking over. And one of the things that Congress passed legislation, believe it or not, to curb high decibel TV commercials. Now, there's a little problem with this. I guess they're going to have to come up with a different system or something because there's a rule. Of course, this is not an internet or a cable network or a rule. It's only for broadcast stations that you can only go to 100% modulation, and you can't go over that. But if you compress things, it makes them sound louder than other things. And, of course, when you're going from a movie or a television show, a drama or whatever, and it's quiet, and all of a sudden they jump out of that into some rousing, loud TV commercial, it sounds terrible. And it is definitely louder, and it's definitely annoying. But I don't know exactly how to fix that, at least not at the broadcast end. But they're working on that, not to have high decibel TV commercials. And Congress decided to pass legislation about that. Now, I have a problem with this. I don't think there's anybody in Congress who knows anything about it. I don't think there's anybody in Congress who knows how to fix it. So there's a point where sometimes I wish they'd keep their big fat mitts off of things that they don't know about. Maybe make a suggestion, but passing legislation, I mean, what are you going to make it a fine if it happens? Well, you can't do that. And it hasn't fixed anything, by the way. They've already passed the legislation. It hasn't fixed anything. One of the things I've heard on, I think it's Fox TV, they put obviously a new volume limiter on there, but it's slow. And so when they go to another person talking from something quiet, it's really loud and then goes down. But it's loud long enough to be annoying. It's only a second or so before it catches it. But I know they can set it up and make it faster than that so that it would catch it much faster than that. But anyway, that's because I know a little too much about the technical end of thing, I suppose. And I know how difficult this is to do as well as because if you put an actual compressor limiter on there, then it brings the volume up of the other stuff and makes it sound bad. So it's really hard to decide. I'm sure they're going to come up with a system that'll take care of it and do it, and it'll cost these broadcast people huge amounts of money, and then we'll be happy again. But, you know, because they've got to do it with a machine. They can't let people sit there and actually come up because that costs too much money. The other thing that the FCC is working on is the Wi-Fi thing. They're going to take, you know, we changed all of the frequencies of all of the television stations, and we moved them from one frequency to another when we went to digital. So there's a lot of bandwidth that's opened up where the old television stations used to be. So the FCC voted this month to put a section of that old television place in as a Wi-Fi. And it's a different frequency, so it can go further, and it will travel further. Because Wi-Fi is such a high frequency right now, it just simply doesn't go very far. And so they're trying to fix this, which I think is a great idea, because I'm on a Wi-Fi network. The city owns a Wi-Fi network, and that's how I get my internet. And we can go anywhere with our laptop in the city and go on our own account and the one that we're paying for, cheating anybody or stealing it from anybody. But that's a good thing to open it up. But now they could have done that without having control over the internet. They could just open up that bandwidth and let it happen and not have to control anything. But they've passed the law or whatever they want to call it, and they are now controlling. And so we'll have to just sit back and see whether it's – but you got to understand now – the FCC is controlling all the telephones. They're controlling all of that, and they're controlling all the TV broadcasts. They've got a lot of stuff, and it's not a big organization. There's not thousands of people working for the FCC. They just have to make the laws and hope for them to work. And so we'll see what takes place and see if it's actually going to turn out to be a horrible thing or if it's just going to be something everybody complains about. I don't know. But the point is that they did it, and it's already done, and so we can sit back and watch and see exactly what takes place. You never know. But I like the idea of opening up the new Wi-Fi. I hope they do that fairly quickly, because that could help a lot of people in a lot of ways. It takes significantly more to do the Wi-Fi right now, because it's such a low power thing. I mean, we're talking in tenths of watts, and we need to have it bigger than that so it can go back and forth easier. Of course, it's going to mean new equipment, and even everybody is going to have to buy new equipment, including me. Everybody that wants to be a process, a part of that, it's going to take some money on everybody's part. So who knows? Could upset a lot of people. Might not. Might. You never know. Anyway. We're halfway past the hour. I guess I better go back and see if anybody has called in or not. Nobody's there. I'm still waiting for you. 646-721-9887. We have exactly 30 minutes left of the show, so you still have plenty of time to call in. And if you want to talk about something more or different than I'm talking about, or if you want to talk about something that I have talked about and have already left, I'm open. I'm open, as a matter of fact, to anything you want to say, however you want to say it. Just don't swear at me and do say nasty words, because I'll have to cut you off. That's all there is to it. I don't really feel that's necessary. To let one slide in and accidentally might be okay, but not bunches of them. Anyway, 646-721-9887, 646-721-9887. We're halfway through at this point in time. Top tens. Lots of things have happened in the news. Lots of things have happened in the country. I think probably the most important thing, and perhaps even the saddest thing, and is the earthquake in Haiti. Now, we're a year away from that, and we're still in a lot of trouble. We still got a million people or so that are living in tent cities, that are displaced, that are getting violently ill and fatally ill in a lot of cases. That's got to be the worst story. It has been, I don't think it's been the overreported story at all, but it hasn't been underreported either. A lot of people are doing stuff. My problem is there are huge amounts of money that have been donated to different organizations in Haiti to help. And I've watched some of the news stories and some of the people that have gone to Haiti, Sarah Palin being one of them, getting back to her, that say that the money is being used expeditiously. I don't know. I don't see, for as much money as been there, I don't know if I think they're really doing the right thing with it. But, you know, I don't know the people. I do know that the people in Haiti don't think the way we do. They don't do things the way we do. They don't have the initiative that we do. They've never had, you know, it's a sad situation, true. But I know that they're not going to do the same things that we do given the same opportunities. So, unfortunately, they are still living in tents. They are not even up off the ground or anything like that. So, when it rains, it's horrible. There's mud and rivers or little rivers. So, it's a really bad place. And they don't have facilities. They don't have any, they don't have much for bathrooms or anything like that. They don't have any place to take showers or be even baths, and don't have water to do it with if they did have a place to. So it's a situation. I'm hoping that it's getting better. I wish I had enough money to go over and just look. But then, again, you've got a government to go through. I don't know if you could just go over there and wander around on your own and find out anything, because, first of all, where would you go to find out anything? There, in all situations like that, there's going to be some places that are looking good and accomplishing things, and then there's going to be other places that aren't with the same amount of money. So it's hard to look at. But overall, I don't know that I think that I'm too sure that the money is going where it's supposed to go, or do we have a whole lot of government employees, so to speak, that are getting actually rich? I don't know. Number two of the top news stories reported in the world, of course, is WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks. What do you think of WikiLeaks? Well, first of all, 646-721-9887. 646-721-987. WikiLeaks. What do you think of it? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it accomplishing anything? I hate to say this, but I think it is accomplishing something. I think it's shaking up, and this is a worldwide problem or a worldwide situation, not just the United States, but it's worldwide. And I do believe that it's going to make world leaders think. They feel that they can say anything they want to say anywhere, and nobody's ever going to know. But that's not true. There's always somebody listening. And please believe me right now, you need to control, to lead your life as though someone somewhere is always listening to you. Someone. Because that's almost always the case. We've got cameras everywhere in the world, not just in the United States, everywhere, on every block just about. And you can't do anything without being picked up on a camera or a microphone or both. And listening devices, all of your telephones, all of your two-way radio communications, they're all being listened to. If they're on the air, and all telephones and radio systems are on the air, somewhere along the line, they can be listened into. And email, believe me, there is not a digit you can type on email without somebody being able to see it, or even everybody being able to see it, because there are a lot of people, I mean, you know, a lot of people who want to see what people are saying. And a lot of this information is recorded somewhere, and that's all that happened. Old Mr. WikiLeaks himself gathered all that, well, he found people to tell him where they were, where the information was, and he gathered it all up and put it online. And it's terrible, it's deplorable, because it could actually lead to people's death. It could lead to horrible things happen to some people, because they're doing, in almost every instance, something that's wrong, or something that some people think is wrong. But hopefully it will make people think. I mean, just don't open your mouth and do like I do and just let it all hang out. But at least I know it's all hanging out, and at least I know that anybody can hear it, and anybody wants to discuss it with me, I'd love to hear from you. 646-721-9887. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number. And let me know. But I'd love to talk to anybody about any of my opinions, because I'm not married to, I'll say, any of my opinions. I'm willing to discuss it, and willing to have my mind opened up, if you wish, because I'm not the final answer on any of this stuff. I just have lots of opinions, that's all. Nothing more than that. So if you have something you think I'm wrong on, tell me. I'll be more than happy to listen. I may not agree with you, I'm still, and yet I may. You never know. So just give me a call. 646-721-9887. Oh, by the way, you can email us too, because if you want to email us, speaking of emails, believe me, if you email us, let everybody know. It could get on the radio, because we might talk about it. And if you want to email us and give us the telephone number to call you, we can even do that. We can even be in, let us do that. We'll call you back and put you on the radio that way. That makes it more convenient, because you don't have to worry about when we're going to do it and all that sort of thing. Of course, it may not make it convenient, because we may call you at the wrong time, but you never know. Let us know. If you'd like to talk on KRBN Block Talk, give us email us your subject and email us your phone number and a best time to call, for that matter. And maybe we'll even call it, and we could record an interview with you and then stick it on there. There's lots of things. There's lots of answers. But we'd love to hear from you. We really would. We would love very much to hear from you. So we're still working on our top 10 news stories of the year. Whoops. I keep losing my place here. Oh, the Chilean miners. That was a really bad situation. And we didn't cover that too much, didn't cover it too little. I do think we're getting a little carried away with still covering and following the Chilean miners and what they're doing and doing big parties for them and making special favors to them. And, you know, it was terrible to be stuck under the ground all that time, but they're out now, and we should let them go. Let them live their own life and do their own thing. Maybe they could get some sort of reward for being down there, maybe not, but we should let them do their thing. It should be over. The Pakistani floods. I've had conversations with people about how the world weather is changing for the worse, whether it's global warming or global cooling or whatever it happens to be. And horrible things are happening, and they're reading all kinds of things into that. I don't think they are. Things like this have been happening all along. The difference being, we have unbelievably enhanced reporting. Our different networks, they've got hours upon hours. We've got, what, six different broadcast networks that have to fill 24 hours a day with news. They've got to come up with things. So they go out and look for things. And every little thing that could be considered a tragedy or a disaster or whatever, they're going to go for. And that's fine. That's absolutely fine. But that doesn't mean things are worse. It just means that we're finding about them faster and more thoroughly. Plus the fact, one thing, of course, that upsets me about that is they take a day and they go call somebody or go there or whatever, and they do a report that's 15 minutes long, and then they play it 20 times a day. Exactly. Word for word. Same thing. And that gets a little annoying. But that's just my opinion. North Korea's year of bad behavior, of course, that's North Korea. I'm not going to say a whole lot about that. North Korea is just, they're bad boys, bad kids. That's what they are. South Africa's World Cup, that's important. That's kind of a neat thing to report on. We put a lot of information out there about the World Cup. And actually, we could even, and there was a movie about that. So that's nothing unusual. Yemen, the new front on war in the war on terrorism. I don't think there's a new front. I think it's everywhere. I think America is going to be the new front. We've got a lot of things going on that we're friendly reporting on. There's a lot of things that we didn't report on. This kid in Oregon that set off a bomb. Now I hear that there are several more that the Homeland Security is following. They're aiding and abetting, I guess you might call it. These people don't know where to go to do something bad. All right. I guess we do have a call. I'm going to answer this and see if I can get her on the air or not. Hi, this is Clifton. Are you on the radio or not?
I think I'm on the radio. Am I on the radio?
Wow, you are on the radio. I hope you haven't been waiting long, because I'm jumping back and forth between the stories and the Blog Talk switchboard. But anyway, yeah, so how are you today?
I was doing good. I only got just a second because I got short runs today. But I just wanted to call and wish everybody a Happy New Year. And same to you. And hope everything's going good on the show.
Everything seems to be going just fantastic. How is the weather out there? It's awfully cold, isn't it?
That's cold but sunny. A little icy this morning, but other than that, pretty good.
Yeah, I noticed this morning our temperature here in Cottage Grove was down to 24 degrees. 24.
Wow.
They've opened up a warmth center. They've got beds at one of the First Presbyterian churches opened up a place with like 20 beds. So people who are living on the streets, and there are a lot of them even here in a little town called Cottage Grove, they have a place to go to get warm and have a place to sleep. And I think that's real important.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, anyways, I can't stay on here,
but I thought I'd call, wish everybody a Happy New Year. And did you play my audio?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I even got it to work.
All right, thank you.
I think everything so far is working. That's amazing. Second time that I've done
this.
Wow,
you're doing good. Pretty soon you'll be a professional. Oh, wait, you are.
I'll be a veteran here pretty soon. That's what I'll be.
You will. Yeah. How many years? 45 years in radio?
Something
you might
like,
get the hang of it?
I might. You never know.
You never know. Well, anyways, I got to run, but Happy New Year to everybody, and we'll catch you in 2011.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Exactly.
Okay. You have a good one.
You too. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye now. All right, now how do I do to hang this up? There it is, hang up. So supposedly that'll do it. Anyway, it's good to hear from Robin. She's not actually out having parties. She's actually working today. And this is New Year's Eve to have you working. What kind of a slave labor is this? Anyway, that's just, there's just so many things going on. Back to our 10 world news stories. European austerity measures. This is something that I'm hearing more and more about. The different countries in Europe. See, this recession, depression, whatever you want to call it, is not just the United States. It's everybody this time. And a lot of countries are feeling real problems with it. They're not dealing with it like we are, I don't think. All we do is just print more money. Unfortunately, that's got to come and bite us in the butt pretty soon, because you can't just print more money and have nothing to back it up with. So sooner or later, that's got to quit. And I think that maybe this last election, bringing all the Republicans and people are realizing around the country that it's got to quit. But the European people have got to do a little bit more than that. I was listening to a lot about Greece, for example, and how they're cutting back paychecks of all the government employees by a certain percentage. They're cutting some of the programs. I don't know if they're raising taxes in Greece. I don't think you can do it. There is a point where people will actually revolt if you keep raising taxes. And we're going to find that here in the United States is what it's going to do. The biggest thing, though, in the United States is there's a lot of places that people can go. For example, that's why we're losing all these jobs, and people are outsourcing these jobs, because there's a lot of countries where paychecks are much, much, much lower than they are in the United States. And for us to be competitive, we can't make things for the same price we could make them somewhere else. And so that's why everybody's leaving. We've got to do something. And I know this is a sore subject, a very touchy subject, about equalizing things around the world. In other words, equalizing Mexico's money with our money. So that if it costs you a dollar to build something here, it costs you a dollar to build something there. Instead of now, it costs you a dollar to build something here, and it costs you like 12 cents to build something there. So it's got to change. Whether we go down or they go up, it's going to have to be both. But I think drastically, it's going to have to be the United States is going to have to go down. Our economy has got to go down. Our style of living has got to be modified. We're going to have to stop buying 2,000 square foot homes for two people to live in, which is what happens here. We buy huge homes, and one of the things everybody thought that was going to do is when all foreclosures and the price of real estate went down so much, we're going to be able to get bigger and better things. That's not really coming about, because everything is going down. How much money we make, how much money we don't make, or if we make any money at all. And so there's not the money there to buy the houses and things like that. And that's the biggest thing you bought them for before, was as an investment, and I don't think that's happening. But that's a whole thing. We could get into a whole show around that entirely. But back to more Mexicans' drug war. I'm just going to say, okay, that's one of the stories. I'm not going to get into that, because there's so much to be said on that, and so many different solutions, is that what I say, or at least theories on the whole thing. I can't talk about that without making it a whole show. Okay, the underreported stories. The outcome in Iraq has been underreported, perhaps because the Iraqians would like to be. They just like to get on with their life and take over, and they want us out of there. Now, whether everybody's panicky about whether Iran is going to get in or not, I don't think they want Iran in there either. They just want to control their own destiny, and that's all there is to it. The jihadists taking over Somalia. I don't know a whole lot about that, to be honest with you, so I'm going to kind of keep my mouth shut. Underreported stories, mass rape in the Congo. And I guess that's why I don't know about these stories, because they are underreported. That's the name of the topic, underreported stories. I don't know a lot about that either. Healthcare fraud. We're going to find out about that in 2011 and find out what's going on, because I think that's going to be dealt into the healthcare situation radically. Iran's internal power struggle. Now, that's something you just hear a little bit of here and there, not a whole lot, but that's been going on for a long time, and it may continue to go on, or it may finally come to a head. You never know. Transparency in a medical research. Oh, boy. That's another one. America's natural gas boom. Ah, speaking of gas, that's another story entirely. I don't know if you're aware of the gas situation or not, but the price of gasoline is now over $3 around the country. It has gone over $3. There are some people who say it's going to go to $5 within the year. There's some people that say it's going to go to $5 within 2 years. Basically, the whole point is it's going to get very expensive to drive your gas-operated vehicle. Changing over to natural gas or to ethanol might lower your prices a little bit. Just living in Oregon, by the way, is one of the ways to lower your prices. But we're still over $3 a gallon in Oregon. The cheapest place to live, if you want to go someplace so that you can drive cheaper, is Utah. Utah is the cheapest state in the country for gasoline, and it's not that cheap, to be honest with you. It's there, but it's got a long ways to go. But, for example, most of the places in Utah, the price of gas is down to $2.78. Now, that's actually pretty cheap considering what it is here. It's at $3. The cheapest gas is like $2.99, $2.97, but mostly it's around $3.03 to $3.19 in the state of Oregon. And, of course, the most expensive place to buy gasoline is California, where else, and New York. And they're up to $3.39 a gallon, and an awful lot of places around there. So that's the cheapest place is Utah. The most expensive place is California, and I guess we're actually not in the middle. Yellow is the middle. So Nevada, a few of these others are yellow in the middle, but we're just a couple of steps up from the middle. And so we're not the cheapest place, we're not the middle place, we're a little bit more. But $3.09 is about the average, I guess, around the state. And it's going to go higher. It's definitely going to go higher. And again, we've talked about this. China, I think, is going to be the biggest reason that it's going to go higher, because they're going to have double the amount of vehicles on the road in just the next year, believe it or not, because people there they're being allowed to make more money. They're being allowed to keep more money. They're being allowed to do more things. They're going to own more things. And with that, they're buying cars, lots and lots and lots of cars. In the United States, we've got it's something like 82 cars for every 100 people. No. Is that right? And in China right now, it's only 3 cars for every 100 people. And so they've got, just to catch up with us in that kind of a ratio, they've got a long ways to go, and they're going to. Plus the fact they've got 4 to 5 times as many people as we have. 1.3 billion people as compared to our 0.3 billion people. Big difference, big difference. And it's going to make a lot of difference in how much the cost of fuel is, all fuel, not just cars. So that was, I just wanted to get that in because I reported. I scared everybody to death, and it's happening. It's taking place. We're going to be in big trouble when it comes to gasoline. Oh, my God. We've only got 5 minutes left to go. I'll give you the top 10 stories in the United States, the top 10 stories in the U.S. Of course, the number one is the BP oil spill. That we've got to cover one of these days here soon and talk about that, because that was a real panicky situation. Everybody worried about it. We thought it was going to change the face of everything that happened in the United States. It did a little bit, but I don't think it had near as much impact as everybody was afraid it was going to have, even the people down there where it took place. So we'll have to cover that and see exactly what's going on now. But you don't hear about it as much. Another top story was the rise of the Tea Party. The rise of the Tea Party. Now, that's something I think could have a real change of face in the politics forever. I mean, I'm hoping we have a third party. I would like to see a third party, because this two-party system just bogs everything down. It needs to have a third party involved so we can take care of it. Obama's quagmire in the healthcare and Obama's quagmire in the economy are the next two stories that have been top stories in the United States because both of them are real important. The whole healthcare thing, that's going to come up in 2011, and I think that's going to change drastically, as is the economy, because we're going to change the economy. We tried the business of just throwing, well, I was going to say throwing fake money, throwing made money. It's not fake, it's real money, but we just made it out of the clear blue sky. Throwing that money at the economy has not fixed it, has not fixed it. Now we've got to do something about lowering taxes and then lowering also how much money we spend, how much money the government spends. There's a huge, huge amount of repair that we can do by changing how much money we spend. I'd like to see, and I know this is not going to happen probably, but sooner or later it might if it gets bad enough. I'd like to see every government employee in the United States take a 10% pay cut. Every government employee take a 10% pay cut. First of all, they're being paid overpaid as compared to the civilian economy by about 20 to 25%. So taking a 10% pay cut still doesn't even bring you in line with the general economy. So they could do that, and I think that would solve our whole problem right there, 10%. I mean, that's not that bad. People in Greece are doing it, only they're doing a 17% cut. 17%. Another top U.S. stories for the year, Islamophobia. Islamophobia, that's what took a while to figure that one out. U.S. Islamophobia. I'm not going to say much about that because I don't know really whether I agree with it or not. I know that we've got it. And this talks, you know, we're talking about, people are worried about Islam. But we're going to have to just kind of, I think, weigh this one out and see how long it's going to take for us to control it. McChrystal in the war in Afghanistan, that's a weird thing. That's a weird thing. I have to believe that he knew what he was doing with that article, but we did get rid of him, and I don't know if that's good or bad. Arizona strict immigration law, of course, if you sit back and look, they don't have a strict immigration law. It was all struck down. Nothing's happened yet. The federal government and federal laws and Supreme Court and everybody, it's not legal. Not legal. U.S.-China tensions, one of the things. Well, now, you need to have tensions there. We've got to watch. We got to do... not combating China, because that's not what I mean, but we've got to adjust our thinking and our way of life to what China is doing and with their way of life. That's got to happen because they're so much bigger than we are, and they're going to become the superpower. If they aren't already, they're going to be the superpower, not us. It's not going to be long. We're not going to. We're sitting back and riding on our laurels, and we can't do that. We've got to take the world or our part of the world in hand and do what we're going to do. The arrival of the iPad, that was one of the big important things, supposedly. I think it's something I've been hoping for a long time because paperless reading is really important, especially in schools, places like that. And I've been doing this for years. I've been reading on the computer for years. It's so much easier. First of all, my sight is not that good. And make the letters bigger, easier to read. So I'm much, much happy with that, definitely. But anyway, we're running out of time now. We've only got 50 seconds remaining in the show. So thank you for listening to me babbling on. We hope to have Christine back, Robin back, before too long. And they're slaving that poor girl away. She's working 7 days a week and various things going on. But she's getting so rich. We're just not going to be able to handle her anymore for long. She's just going to be way out of touch. But that's not true. Anyway, we'll get her back on there and talking to us as well. But thank you for showing up and listening to us. Thank you for KOHI for airing this program now. appreciate that. And we'll be back again next week, same time, same station. So have a good day, and Happy New Year, everybody.